Great to have you with us this morning. Monday's always a big day to go back over a massive weekend of sport. And from 7 to 8, we do footy. And that's what we're going to do right now. Alex Keith will join us in this hour for the Western Bulldogs. They're going very nicely. But the conversation starter is for Kia, with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. And before we jump into it, was that the Raptor?
Is that the Raptor? Yes, the Raptor's back. Yeah, he's back. He's back.
It wasn't he's a real back. Crank up, it wasn't. It was a sort of, have you had him nobbled?
No, he hasn't been nobbled, but I think he's still in shock. He went down to the river yesterday, the McAllister, and there was a pelican down there. And
they picked him up with its beak, his bill.
He got a bit of a shock, and he still hasn't recovered. But he'll be back again soon, Gary. Where do you want to start this morning with this
football conversation? I want to start by just replaying it, because we had the great Dennis Pagan. I never listened to the Raptor just announce himself while the Premiership star was being interviewed.
There's no people at the races, so you drive to the races by yourself. And it just looks like everywhere.
Rightio. It's just, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll start with Biggest Winger, Biggest Loser, Player of the Round. You can give your nominations 1-300-736-736. You can ring them through or you can send them on the speckled text, and then we'll get stuck into some of the bigger issues. So, Rightio, Biggest Winger, Biggest Loser for you.
The biggest winner for me would have been Essendon on Friday night. The biggest winner for me, because I didn't think that they would win that game. They got off to a horrendous start. They were down 3 goals. They kicked the next 8. That was a great performance by Essendon on Friday night. And I think that the real concern, obviously, is that their superstar player, the guy that can make things happen, Jake Stringer, may not be around for the next couple of months. That's going to be a real problem for them, because they don't have another bloke on their list that they can replace Jake Stringer with. But I thought their performance was really, really meritorious. They got almost head in that last quarter again. They steadied. There's some great there was great contributions from a number of players. Snelling played a really good game as well. But I thought that Phillips was outstanding.
Great.
He probably got beaten in the. I think he got beaten in the tap work by Grundy. But it was his competitiveness, Gary. Sometimes it's just better to have somebody out there that competes the way that he did. So.
My question for you on the back, because I had them down as well, but I will go for Brisbane now because, as I said, that was the best footy I've seen played all year, and it was against quality opposition who were in form in Port Adelaide. So they're my biggest winner. My question for you on the Bombers is, can we trust them to bring that sort of intensity every week? Because that's the best tackling I've seen from them, best single-minded approach to the defensive aspect I've seen from Essendon for a long time. Can we expect that now to be the new standard?
Not yet, no. I think you've got a string. No, you can't until you get to a point where a side's been able to do that week in, week out for a period of time. So I think they've got to establish that benchmark of performance, which they haven't yet.
So we'll watch with great interest in their next outing and to see whether they can replicate it. And they've got North Melbourne, one of their arch enemies. So you hope that they can. Now, biggest loser.
You go first with your biggest loser. I want to go after you.
Well, I know Melbourne is the obvious, so you can go them. For me, North Melbourne, they have been a team who have been so disappointing for me. And to play Ben Cunnington, okay, they got it wrong. And Reece Shaw put his hand up and he said he got it wrong. And that's okay, you make mistakes as you're a young coach. But the bigger issue around it is it smacked a bit of desperation to me. When you even have to push the boundary that far with a bloke who is clearly as sore as that. I mean, if you are travelling okay and you're happy and confident with where you're at, you just say, nah, another week for you. So to me, it was just a bit of desperation, and I've been really disappointed with the Kangaroos over the past couple of weeks.
Okay, they wanted the Shinbone of Spirit back. That's what the old North Melbourne people wanted. I mean, Kingy, he drove this hard, but that's my point, okay? They've got that, right? They're competitive. They're super competitive, but you need a lot more than that, don't you?
Of course you do. Of course you do. So they've got to find a way to move the ball better. They've got to find a way to get their forward system structured up and working better and make the most of Ben Brown, because right now they just can't capitalise on a talented kid they've got down there. And that's taking nothing away from the Bulldogs, because they've just found their little niche at the moment. They're back up and running, and that's a nice thing for the competition.
Yes.
Player of the round? Oh, you know, your biggest loser.
My biggest loser. I know you want me to say Melbourne, but it isn't Melbourne for me. My biggest loser of the week. No, it's not. It's Adelaide. Adelaide are the biggest loser of the weekend. That was a game that they could have won. They kicked horrendously inaccurately yesterday. They had, you know, I hate the pile. I hate the pile on in this business where everybody sort of jumps on somebody.
Mm.
But having said that, Tex Walker, if you were to identify a couple of his efforts yesterday around the ball.
One in particular.
Yes, one in particular. But then there are other, if you watch him around the ball, when he can still influence a contest, and I'm just talking about being competitive here, and it's almost, there's a lack of identification that he's close enough to the play to do something about it. And you've got a team that's on the road like they are, they're desperate for their first win, and you see somebody that's experienced with a former leader of that club and still not performing the way that... And this is all about effort. This is about, to me, this is about concentration and effort. Nothing more, okay? Just concentration and effort. And then he's not doing the things that you'd expect of any AFL player. That is incredibly disappointing. You wanted me to say Melbourne, but...
Melbourne in a minute. We can give them the deep dive in a minute.
Adelaide are still... That was very... Frio are just an average team, okay? They've been competitive. They try really hard. They do all that sort of stuff, but they don't have the polish in the finish either. But that was a game that Adelaide could have very much won yesterday, and they didn't. So they were, for me, they're the disappointment. I didn't think they were going to have a great year, but they're worse than what I thought they were going
to
be.
Collingwood are lucky to get off, and they also will be discussed in greater detail given their past week or so. Now, player of the round, who was your player of the round?
A player of the round, it would have been, I'm going back, I don't want to miss anyone from Thursday night.
Well, it's just, you don't have to go, you have every player, just one that jumped out at you.
You go first, Gary.
Righto. Mine is Daniel McStay of the Brisbane Lions. I don't know whether you saw much of that game. He played like Wayne
Carey. He was great, early, yeah.
Daniel McStay. This bloke has got... I said this last year after he's played a similar game. He is so much better than he thinks he is. If he only realised how much talent he's got, Daniel McStay, he could be something very, very special. So he's my player of the round.
Well, I guess... I'm just trying to think about... I mean, Bruce kicking the six goals.
But we rarely
see anybody kicking a handful of goals anymore. So for me, and there were real question marks about him as a player to whether or not he was going to be able to perform the way that they desperately need someone in a key post to be able to perform. So for me, I don't know. There was no one that sort of stood out at the weekend with some superstar performance. I think for me, that was probably the best and most positive performance.
Okay. Tell me about Melbourne then, because I know what I can say, and I've been saying it for a long time and probably saying the same things for a long time, and I watched as much as I could yesterday whilst I was at Fox getting ready for the next game. What is wrong with them, Tim?
You know what? There's nothing wrong with their endeavour. There's nothing wrong with their desire to want to compete. I think all that is there. It's just that they are a poorly skilled team and they lack the ability to be able to make the most of anything that is a positive move forward. Even out of the centre bounce. These are things I wrote down. In the last quarter, okay, the game is still on the line. Their first two entries and three of their first four entries into the forward line, and three of them were without pressure. They were marked by Richmond defenders. Now, you've got to identify those areas as the reasons. They have more inside 50s than Richmond. I think most weeks they have more inside 50s than the opposition. It's their inability to be able to convert. And then to find somebody that actually has some space around them. I don't know whether or not... their forwards can't get enough separation against their direct opponents to provide targets. Petrarca is the only one, I think, that you would possibly want. Maybe... Salem would be the other. The two blokes that are really good forward line kicks outside the forward line, into the forward line, into their 50. Hunt was really disappointing yesterday. And the other thing at the other end of the ground, and this goes to the concentration of players or the identification of where they're at a certain stage of the game. There was, and the game's still on the line here, right? So Jake Lever, the ball goes into the forward line, Richmond's forward line. Lynch takes a mark uncontested. Jake Lever is standing there, okay, on his own as a defender. He doesn't contest the ball whatsoever. And then he looks around at the other defenders as if to say, oh, look, I'm supposed to be playing the free guy here. Somebody else is supposed to come over the top here and knock the ball away. So you would think there's a little bit. You would think that there would be a lot more cohesion in that defensive part of the ground as well, as opposed to what we saw yesterday. So I don't think, if you're a Melbourne fan, you'd be disappointed. You'd be really struggling at the moment to find some positives. But they are being competitive. I don't think Simon Goodwin is sitting down saying, look, the part of our game that we've got wrong at the moment is our competitiveness. They've got that right. The part of their game that they can't produce at the moment, and this is not a quick fix either, is the fact that they lack skill, they lack players who are great decision makers. Even your man, Clayton Oliver, okay? I know he's great at being able to win the ball. A lot of his possessions, he actually puts somebody else under more pressure than what he was under when he gained possession of the ball. And one of the kicks in the last quarter was horrendous. I know, but you talk about Melbourne all the time, okay? I'm telling you some of the things that I saw yesterday as to why they are not a good team.
Yeah, none of that is news to anyone. And you said, the only point I wanted to pick you up on was you said that Melbourne supporters should be frustrated. Melbourne supporters are gutted, Tim. I've not seen a response from Melbourne supporters like I saw on there for their performance yesterday because of the very fact of all of those things you just spoke about. And they've been happening now for 18 months. And they've had endeavour for 18 months, Tim. But they can't convert that opportunity. And they finished second last year. They're the worst performing team since their preliminary final. They can't kick, as you said. They haven't been able to kick for a long, long time. Viney, they're bangers. Their midfield are bangers. Viney, Oliver, Langdon's a horrible kick. So that's you've got to question the recruitment there. Hunt's a horrible, horrible kick. So don't ever whinge if you get dropped because you're a horrible kick and you can't be in the AFL standard if you can't kick. They've got no power forward. McDonald's gone backwards. Wiedemann's been slower than they want in development. And they play, and this is my other essential, they play at a tempo that's unsustainable for their skill level. They are in the red zone the whole time. Play on, flip the ball around, Hollywood handball. You can't play like that when you got horrible skills by foot, Tim. Because you put yourself under pressure where you got no composure.
No, that's true. And they have, you're quite right. But the other thing is, though, if they play the other way, it's even worse for them. Because if they play the other way that you're suggesting, then they can't. They're not going to score. They're never going to be able to score. Are you saying then that they have to identify when they can go and when they can't go?
Yeah.
And that goes back to the heart then of players who have the ability to be able to recognise that. I think they probably don't have players that can actually recognise the difference between the two, if that's the case.
So you can go manic, fast, 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 but then it comes to the stage where, particularly the inside 50 kick, is when your heart rate should slow, your mind should just then take it all in. I don't care how you kick it and what it looks like. How many times did Richmond ugly inside, like 12-metre kick into the inside 50 mark and get a kick and then a shot at goal? And it didn't matter how it happened. It was just composure around the footy. So what I'm saying, you can go fast, but then there is the time to drop it back, sum up, weigh up. Clayton, who I went hard on early, right, and he's still 21 or something. His numbers are phenomenal. He's stagnated in his football.
Yep.
So he's stagnated. So if he wants to get to the category that, you know, many of us and me, I'm putting my hand up, then he needs to get greater value for his money, for his possessions.
Absolutely. And he needs to recognise when he's around the ball. He's a great ball winner. Like, he is a great ball winner. He provides great energy around the ball. But he has to learn that there are times when he can take it on and there are times when he needs to get rid of the ball and handball it to somebody else, but not put them under pressure. I mean, everything with him is instinctive. In the last quarter, he came through the centre. He had a kick in the last quarter that was a terrible kick. Turned the ball over. By the way, Richmond didn't have their greatest day yesterday. They weren't as sharp as what we have seen in the past as well. They actually made some real errors yesterday themselves with their ball movement, but Melbourne weren't able to take enough advantage of it. What is their structure? What is their best structure? Tell me why they're not playing Wiedemann.
Yeah, well, I don't know the answer to that. I would think that you'd need a get-out option. Tom McDonald's been a massive disappointment. He's more of a mobile leading forward, so they don't have a get out long kick option. Wiedemann, you know, three goals in a big final. Wisp, when you're on the charge and you're that young and you're playing centre forward, you think that with the natural progression that he would be your man going forward, and he hasn't been.
And that was a decision they made, though, was it not? The decision they made in the whole Hogan thing was, yep, we've got this other bloke that's going to fill the spot and fill that void left by Hogan. I would say also that when McDonald was playing his best and looked like he was capable of being a forward, that Hogan was taking a lot of pressure off him as well.
Well, Hogan being didn't play in that final.
No, series. No, but he was playing. He played a lot of football with McDonald in the same forward line. Hogan.
Wiedemann played his best game. Yep. Hogan wasn't in there, but anyway, as they've invested heavily in a back half, that's why that one Jake Lever thing was pretty disappointing. Up until then, their back line's been gelling pretty well together. But Simon Goodwin has to wear it. He's the coach and the coaching group, and part of your job as a coaching group is to fix the problem. And he knows it. You know it. I know it. He knows it. Everyone knows it. They haven't been able to fix it, so they've got to wear that. And that's an issue. They are a bad, bad, bad kicking team, Tim. Bad kicking team. And in this competition,
I think we've established that.
If you can't hit targets, you're going nowhere. Let's take a break and come back. It's 7:19 Whispers, so we're a little bit late, but we'll continue to talk footy. There's full hour, and the Wisps got more to say. That's coming up next. SEN. Great to have you with us this morning. Excuse me, I understand you can't be with us all morning. We have given Essendon a big rap. They were outstanding, and we have given Melbourne a nice assessment.
Serve. A nice serve. A nice serve, Gary. And, you gave him a big serve, you did.
All understandable. Ryson DeChambeau, he's won the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit on 23-under. Things can change quickly in this game. That's the other thing. So for Demon supporters and others that are struggling today, this morning with their team, things can change quickly. It was only a couple of weeks ago that some questions were being raised about the Western Bulldogs, but they've gathered themselves and they were impressive again on the weekend with a nice 49-point win over the Kangaroos. And Alex Keith's been good enough to join us. Alex, welcome.
G'day, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good to talk to you. What has changed? Help us out here. It was a bit of a battle early on in the piece, but you got things together nicely.
It's been good the last sort of few weeks, and obviously we started the season pretty poorly with a couple of performances that were well below what we sort of expected, and I think what our supporters would have expected from us. So yeah, it's been nice to bounce back. I think a bit of chemistry and some real confidence building in our younger players, which has been great to see.
This is your first year, of course, so you haven't got anything to compare it with. But for us outsiders, it looks like it's back to the way that they play their very best footy. You know, a lot of pressure, a lot of flicking the ball around by hand and moving it quickly.
Yeah, I think so. From what I knew of the Dogs before I got there, that's certainly been the case. But I think we're pretty keen, and the messaging's been on. It's a bit of a new identity now, and not trying to reflect too much on bygone years or anything like that. So it's been nice to see a bit of a style come to the fore in the last few weeks.
Alex, everyone talks about that connection. You're sort of one of the stabilisers in the back six. Are you feeling more comfortable now and more at home with the guys around you?
Yeah, I think as each game's gone by, you sort of start to build those relationships, and I guess with the corona break as well, you don't have that match practice, so we got back together and you do your training and bits of match sim, but nothing beats sort of time out on the ground and in terms of building those connections and that sort of chemistry. So yeah, I think that's been really important, and hopefully that can continue.
Talking about building, Tim English is starting to build nicely as a ruckman in this competition. What you've only been there a short period of time though, but from what you've seen so far, what's your impression of him as one of the up and coming ruckmen in the competition?
Yeah, he's got best hair in the game, I reckon. For a start, he's a young professor,
doesn't he?
Yeah, he's coming along really nicely, and his athleticism and work around the ground is something that gives us a bit of an edge. And you know, his contest work on the weekend was really good against a high class opponent. So he certainly gets back and supports us defenders really well. And his aerial work's been really impressive.
Alex, what happens now? Off to the hub this afternoon, we're led to believe. What sort of information have you been given in relation to all this?
Yeah, we don't have a great deal of information. We know that we're heading off around lunchtime today, and the first 2 weeks in the hub will be in, I believe, really strict isolation. So not too many activities, and I think it's basically just staying around the hotel and obviously training and games for the first couple of weeks. So that's basically where it's at, but we're looking forward to it. And just have to, I think everyone's in the same boat with all the Victorian sides heading off. So
mate, I was just reading also that you've got 6 or 7 players who are taking family up as well.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not across it exactly, but I know that there were a lot of boys with those plans. So I think from what I believe, the families will be jumping on the flight today, which is awesome, and I think it'll add a bit around the hotel as well.
Bevo's theming around the game and finals, everything associated with the game is legendary. What has he done around this whole idea of going into a hub for you as a group of players?
Yeah, I think just going at it with a positive attitude and seeing it as a bit of an adventure. We've got a younger group of players, and I think that's really important with guys, looking forward to away trips, and this one's probably a bit longer than the normal away trip, but our younger boys really really enjoy and embrace that, and I think the older groups gets carried along with them. So we're really looking forward to going away together. It'll have its challenges with lots of people leaving loved ones behind and whatnot, but as I said, every team's in the same position, so we'll just look to make the most of it.
Did you read the manuscript that the AFL put out about going into the hub and the protocols surrounding it? And I don't know whether or not this has been reported accurately, but that partners of players were advised maybe just to ring them once or twice a week. Texting's okay, but not too many phone calls. Did you read that bit as well?
I didn't read that bit. I had a quick skim through the protocols. It was pretty extensive, but I'll leave that up to our COVID manager at the club to relay. I think we got a meeting this afternoon, so not sure. I'll maybe try and sneak in a few extra phone calls over and above that, I think.
I know you're a bit light on detail, but do you know about the sleeping arrangements and stuff like that? Do you get your own room or you get your own space? Do you know, has that been relayed to you?
Yeah, I think it's the AFL has done a terrific job. Just speaking with some of my former teammates at Adelaide, they've said that the setup's been fantastic. So yeah, I think we're really fortunate with the way we'll be looked after. And I think we get our own rooms, and things will be looked after in terms of food and beverage and whatever else that the players need. While particularly in the first 2 weeks, while it sounds like we're in pretty strict isolation.
And Lockie Hunter, he served his penance. You expect him to be back this week?
Yeah, I do. I think he'll be pretty excited to get back out there. And I think he'll be full steam ahead, trying to prove a bit of a point as well. So he's an awesome player and really sharp leader on the field and with the way he sets everything up. And I think he'll be a great addition this week.
Alex, did you read the article from Sam McClure, or written by Sam McClure in The Age yesterday about the Adelaide Football Club camp? Did you read that?
Yeah, I had a look.
Yeah. Was it accurate?
I think it probably is, but I've certainly moved on from the camp. I think most people have, so it's probably going over a few things that have been written a few times over now. So I think, a lot, you know, most people have moved on from that.
Is it something the players still talk about, those that were on the camp, Alex, or not? Have you all just decided that, okay, we put that behind us, move on?
We certainly don't talk about it as much as the media talk about it, but I think it's probably an attractive thing to write about, and easy to link that to the difficulties that the Crows are having on the field. So yeah, it seems to keep popping its head up, but I think it's, as I said, I think it's been written about a few times over now.
Are you feeling for your old mates at Adelaide? Not about the camp. I'm just talking. Are you feeling for your old mates at Adelaide? Not about the camp. I'm not talking about now. Just about where they're at right now without a win this season.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've got some great mates from the Crows who obviously it's difficult when they're not able to get a win so far. So still keep in contact with a lot of those boys, which is good. But hopefully they'll be able to get things together.
Hey, it's an exciting time. The Bulldogs are back and going nicely again. You got the Blues on Sunday. So another opportunity perhaps to just keep yourself ensconced in that top eight. Thanks for joining us this morning, Alex, and good luck up on the Gold Coast.
Cheers, guys. Really appreciate it. Cheers.
Thanks,
Alex
Keith.
Keithy?
Yeah, Alex Keith. Keithy, yeah.
You went with a Keithy. Fair enough. Read the camp from The Age on the weekend. Did you learn anything new? Eyebrow raiser? Was it an enlightening?
No.
Did it shock you?
No, it didn't, because I'd heard all those things previously. There's a bit from, sorry, Sam's article, there's a bit more detail in it, but I'd learned all those things before about Hatfeld. Now, can I just clarify? I would have asked him a question from somebody that was there, whether or not it was accurate, that was all. I think.
Isn't that
what we're supposed to do?
That's my role as when we're interviewing people, to come up with the relevant questions, and it was it got some prominence.
Probably more detail than we'd read before, I think, around it. Would that be right in saying?
There's a few things in there, but just confirmed everything that when you talk to some Adelaide people who continue to suggest that it hasn't been an issue, you shake your head a little bit when you do, you go back over exactly what happened. It did seem like a massive mistake. Move on. FFS, you might have to explain what that is. Yeah, no, we understand. But it was a talking point over the weekend. Hey, the Saints are going beautifully. Wisp, fourth on the ladder, if you don't mind. Just in the top four for St Kilda fans. Is it time to get excited? Well, they've got a little bit to deal with. They're heading up to Noosa. So we'll take a break and we'll join there. Now, I've got to get the title right because he gets a bit snarky. Chief Operating Officer Simon Lethlean is going to join us next to talk us through exactly what sort of challenges the Saints and other clubs have got in front of them in the coming days. Well, the Saints have rebounded strongly after they got a bit of a touch-up against the Magpies at the MCG. They've bounced back with two really good wins. They find themselves in the top four, and they're heading to Noosa. What are you laughing at?
Well, do you think he'd be lathered up this morning? Would he have the slip, slop, slap on this morning, do you think?
Lathers?
Gary? Yeah.
Simon Lethlean, who is the St Kilda Chief Operating Officer, probably had a little spray tan yesterday, I would have thought, before he heads up to Noosa. He joins us on the line. Welcome, Lethers.
Boys, how are you?
We're going very... Tim's just laughing at some of his own work here. He's enjoying his own stuff today. Hey, These times are unbelievable. Just to talk us through and give our listeners some idea about the logistical challenges that you've had to face to try and get yourself up to Noosa. You touched down last night. Everyone went up, we believe.
You've got the whole crew here, which is great. It was all a rush, but in the end we played Thursday, so less rush than others, I suppose. So I brought the whole squad, with a few players with families that have come along, and look, we're very lucky. We've got the whole of a resort to ourselves. It's been under construction up here, so it's sort of been closed. So they've opened for us, and we're into it. We've got a five-game tour, and we're looking to win as many games as we can. So it's exciting. We've got a young group, Gary and Tim, so lots of the boys are excited. You know, it's been a, I guess, a a shutdown period back home where lots of those guys haven't seen each other properly, so everyone's excited to be around each other, so it's good.
So a lot of our listeners would relate with Noosa. They would have been up there probably holidaying, or some would at some stage. Just whereabouts are you, and where are you going to be doing your training?
So we're at the RSCV resort at Noosa. And I guess, you know, for the first 14 days, we can't leave here apart from going to training. So we're training at a combination of the Noosa footy ground and the AFL precinct there at Maroochydore. So that's about a 40-minute drive away, and Noosa's just around the corner. But, yeah, we can't leave the gates here for the first 14 days, which is, you know, heavily quarantined, and obviously for a number of reasons, but one of the main reasons being we're flying to Adelaide on day 15 to play the Crows and then flying back the next day. So it's all pretty strict, but as I said, it's, you know, it's a great environment to be in if it's going to be in a lockdown. So it's good, but it's strict, which is good.
Hey, Lethers, all clubs are travelling with different size parties. Who pays if there's extras? I mean, does the AFL say, look, we're going to pay for 70 or 80, or how does all that work?
No, the AFL's been unbelievable. I mean, I guess in so far as getting the season away, if we don't get games away, it costs a lot more than a travelling party. So, no, they've been pretty clear that everyone is welcome. So the AFL puts the bill for accommodation and the meals here and everything else. And you know, everything that a football club needs, we pack into the plane and everything else. But if there's things you haven't been able to do, they've been extremely helpful in making sure that we're set up to run a professional football club. So I couldn't speak more highly of some of the AFL staff that have been put in to run these hubs. They are working around the clock and nothing's too much trouble.
And what about the travel? I know that you're not hours and hours away from down on the Gold Coast, but the traffic and that type of thing, was that a consideration in all this, being up there at Noosa as opposed to being down on the Gold Coast or Brisbane or around Brisbane?
Well, look, I think they could only fit so many into the right sort of environment. I mean, I think there's, you know, five or six clubs on the Gold Coast, and some of those clubs I think are in, you know, not quite resort style. So it's there's a downside to being here insofar as we'll travel a bit further to games. You know, I think our first game is Gold Coast at 12:30 on a Saturday. We'll have to head off from here pretty early on a bus. But, you know, it's West Coast travel 10 times, you know, for 4 hours sometimes in a plane. Victorians don't travel much, so it's not a big deal. The main thing is we've got a great environment. We've got all our players here. We've got the staff that could make it. And it's game on. I'm standing here in the sun now. I'm assuming it's raining down in Melbourne. So we're pretty happy.
Got your shirt off or not?
Yeah, I only bought singlets and shorts, so I'll be doing all media by phone just to keep the fans happy. No. It's business as usual, Gary. I'm in sort of chino and shirt as usual.
Tell me, what about the dietitian and that sort of stuff from a food point of view? Have you taken someone up with you, or is that organised when you get there?
Well, I left my personal dietitian at home. I didn't think it was appropriate to bring... we've got our dietitian. We're actually really lucky. We've got our nutrition specialist on our staff, but she hasn't been part of the 30 that has had access to our training venue, but she has had match day access. But because a couple of others couldn't make it, got babies coming in light, she's actually come up here, which is unbelievable because she can actually just liaise with the venue for the first couple of weeks. Now she's got kids and the like, so she'll, you know, it's school holidays, but she's made the sacrifice to come for at least the first 2 weeks just to oversee the snack bar and all the meals and stuff. So yeah, Ellie's here, which is fantastic. So she's liaising with the venue about breakfast, lunch, dinner and obviously match day stuff. So yeah, we're very fortunate.
We're just trying to ask the questions that maybe our listeners have got for you, so they might sound a bit silly, but when you're winning, you're happy to hang around together. I mean, that's just life. Everyone's, you know, can't get enough of it and you want to go to meetings. When you're losing, it's not so much. So hopefully that, you know, you keep winning. You've got two really winnable games with the Dockers and the Crows. But is there a chance like, is there space to get away from each other should you need to, just to have some of your own time?
There's not much space around the resort to get away from each other, but, you know, I guess we're focusing on a, you know, in some ways, a five-test series here and to win as many of those games as we can. So we'll certainly put space in the schedule. You know, it sounds a bit sort of, a bit too organised. We'll put space in the schedule to make sure that those with kids can appropriately catch up with their families on the phone and FaceTime and stuff, and we'll certainly put space in the schedule for free time. I think things will be different after the first 2 weeks. We can actually go down to the beach or go get a coffee. You know, Hastings Street's pretty well, I'd imagine, Gary. But we, you know, at the moment, there's no cars here, there's no buses. We can't get out except for training. So there's not much getting away from each other. So, you know, the likes of Dan Henneby are in rooms by themselves by request from 44 other guys. But we'll find a way then after the first 40 days to, share vans in our groups and go get a coffee and use the beach for a swim and everything else. But for the first little while, it's a bit of a love-in.
Talking to Simon Lethland, the St Kilda Chief Operating Officer. Leathers, after this five-week period, what's your expectation right now? Is it that you'll go back and have like a bye, or do you think that you'll be on the road again after this five-week block?
I don't reckon we've got any. I mean, I reckon I had expectations 2 weeks ago about us going to a hub, and honestly, based on how the environment in Victoria is going, I don't think the AFL know what round 11 looks like. I reckon they've got half an idea about round 8, 9 and 10, but there's no way in the world they'd tell you, because that will change. And so I just think we're ready for a five-game block. And then we'll sort of do what we're told, but we hope that we get a chance to reconnect with our families back home and sort of reassess after that.
And talking about reassessing, Dan Henneby too, what's the assessment on his injury at the moment? Another soft tissue for him?
Yeah, he's got a, you know, I'll try not to get too technical, he's got a little nick in his hamstring. It's not a bad one. I reckon given his history, it'll be, you know, a couple of weeks. But, you know, no more than that. So it's not a bad one, but it's enough to disrupt him for a couple of weeks.
And quickly, just Zach Jones before we let you go.
Yeah, Zach's good. He's, I reckon, if he had been playing Thursday like we were going to be, he's going to be a stretch. But I think he'll be a test, obviously. But he's looking pretty good. He's off for a run in about half an hour at Noosa. And I think if I was a betting man, I reckon he's ready to go.
Great news. Great news for the club. They're going beautifully, and I think you're in your perfect environment up there. You'll be well-suited, and hopefully the club can thrive and the wins keep coming.
Yeah, thanks, mate. I'll send a photo of the spray tan if you like and keep you updated.
Simon Lethland, Chief Operating Officer for the St Kilda Footy Club. Going beautifully they are, and top four at the minute.
Yeah, no, going along nicely, Gary. I've never been able to afford to go to Noosa. What's up there? Can you just tell me and all the other listeners out there that can't afford to go to Noosa what we might find if we get there?
20 years since I've been there, Wisp, so I'm not the one to ask either. It's not my cup of tea. Reminder, caller of the year can win a brand-new Toyota Kluger GX two-wheel drive. Download the My Toyota app today and book your next service online. News headlines, questions without notice, not far away.